You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday morning, hump day, wherever you be. Yeah, even if you're on the far side of the time spectrum, you're still in hump day. So welcome to All Marine Radio. Thanks for listening on a Wednesday. I got some interesting email after the program yesterday about taking a look from the perspective of other nations, how they look at this issue, right? So I played some audio from the BBC, and then I played some audio from Al Jazeera, God forbid. Ah, that's right. Somebody said the best audio, and I think it was in the Al Jazeera video, the guy says this. I wish I should go back and find the audio because it's pretty amazing. So, you know, we do all this hand-wringing, right? We do all this hand-wringing about treaties but the problem with treaties when you get to it is that the United States agrees in principle, right, to the spirit of what's being done. But we don't ratify anything. They never become law, so they're never binding. So treaties really for the United States are a statement of intent of the current, of that administration, right? Whether it's the, Kyoto Protocol, you know, you can go there and this is my intent as the sitting president of the United States. It holds no more weight than that. Right, so this whole notion that the United States backed out of a treaty, right, we agreed in principle. Now, people say, well, Mac, that's kind of splitting hairs, isn't it? Not really. Right, it's the same thing kind of as the War Powers Act, right? You have to go to Congress within X amount of time if you commit U.S. troops. And, 90 days, something like that? I think it should be the same. Is that if you sign a treaty, it has to be ratified by Congress has to be submitted to Congress within X number of days, and therefore Congress can act on it. And if Congress rejects it, then everybody can know, yeah, the United States, they're not a part of it. The President of the United States thinks it's a good idea, but that's about as far as that shit went. And remember, ratification of a treaty, 2/3 of the Senate. Yeah, good luck on that shit. So anyway, but what's funny about it, so we have all this angst and the gnashing of teeth and whatnot relative to this issue of the nuclear weapons treaty with Iran. And I went through that thing, kind of the issues. So what was going to be monitored was uranium mining in Iran, right? What was going to be monitored was centrifuge operations and the number of centrifuges being purchased, right? All that would be monitored. Okay, so then the guy says, yeah, but truth be told, you know, China and Russia would never live up to this treaty, and Europe wasn't living up to it either. Now, that would leave the Americans backed out of it. So that's everybody on one side, and the other nation, Iran, were to believe that Iran has no other plan to weaponize uranium in order to go down the path that North Korea has gone down and fundamentally assure itself that nobody would ever screw with it again. You believe that. You believe that Iran is that country, that they would do that, in spite of everything the Israelis have showed you about them lying and their enrichment and their stated goals. So to me, that's what the email said. And essentially pointing that out, that, you know, the best part of that was that guy's audio saying, it's a bullshit event anyway. But everybody will stand up and thump their chest and say, no, we're about this. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. The other interesting thing that happened yesterday, well, I mean, there's a whole bunch. In the news, though, let me tell you something that's painful that plays out in public is the whole Duncan Hunter thing. Now, if you remember, Duncan Hunter, a Republican congressman, walking in the steps of his father, who is a Republican congressman from Southern California. He was charged late last year with, campaign finance violations. And the story was a crazy story, right? And let me play you the audio from an interview. And nothing illegal about being poor. That's the quote that came out of the interview, right? And it immediately, like, what did he just say? He makes $175,000. His wife takes the federally funded campaign chairman money. And so that's, what, $230,000. Now, I don't know where you all start the poverty line. But my poverty line starts south of $230,000, okay? And so you watch this and you're like, this is kind of crazy, and he doesn't seem to get it, all right? So I just want to, Fox News 5, okay, out of San Diego. Listen to this, and listen to what he says. Now, the story yesterday... Now, the story's got even crazier because his wife pled guilty. So his wife was charged. He blamed his wife in statements saying that, hey, look, and you'll hear him say, you know, I was a Marine, I was deployed, I gave my wife power of attorney. So he throws his wife under the bus, which is odd, but you can say, okay, well, she's gonna plead whatever she pleads. They're going to do a mea culpa. Right, whatever happens, probably nobody's going to jail. All right, so you're watching this thing unfold. Now months go by, and then what? 2 weeks ago, she pleads guilty, and you're like, uh-oh. She pleads guilty, and you're like, what's that all about? Well, the story yesterday kind of explains it all, and you're talking about a guy who's now, I mean, he's a train wreck. I mean, he's got huge personal issues, and the story in the news yesterday is that Duncan Hunter was carrying on multiple affairs with staffers, other other congressional aides and whatnot. Stories in Marine Corps Times today. Marine veteran U.S. Representative Duncan Hunter illegally used campaign funds to finance romantic flings with lobbyists and congressional aides, spending thousands of dollars on meals, cocktails, and vacations, federal prosecutors say. Details about the married Republican congressman's alleged affairs were outlined in a government court filing late Monday, connected to the charges that Hunter and his wife misspent more than $200,000 in campaign money on trips and personal expenses. Margaret Hunter pled guilty this month to one corruption count and agreed to testify against her husband. So you saw that, and earlier this month you're like, what's that about? Well, yesterday we found out. She's pissed. Hunter says he's the target of a politically motivated prosecutor. Okay, so I want you to listen. I think this is the, alright, so this is the audio from where he says there's nothing wrong with being poor, right? And listen to the number of times that he and his wife balance checks.
Period. The 47-page federal indictment paints a picture of a congressman and his wife living beyond their means, prosecutors alleging Representative Duncan Hunter and his wife Margaret took $250,000 from his campaign coffers to cover family costs.
This is good, a good story for everybody. There's nothing illegal about being poor.
Okay, $230,000 and then another, what, $250,000 donated by people to your campaign? That ain't, bro, I know poor, that ain't what we're talking about.
Okay. I don't think there's anything illegal about not having money in your bank account.
U.S. federal prosecutors say the Hunters spent campaign funds on vacations, movie tickets, trips to the dentist, household bills, and $3,300 on fast food frequently.
Now, you're going to hear a list of fast food, which makes me feel, like, good about this, because, like, at least he goes to some of the same places that I go to. But, now, this report is done prior to the information about alleging that this is how he also financed his affairs.
In and Out, Carl's Jr., KFC, Jack in the Box, and Wendy's.
Boom.
The indictment also alleges that the congressman was in financial turmoil, bouncing his personal account expenditures 1,100 times, racking up overdraft bank fees of $37,761.
Did you bounce your bank accounts 1,100 times?
Oh, you mean have overdraft? I'm not sure. So let me tell you guys. I was in the Marine Corps. I did three tours. When I joined the Marine Corps, I gave power of attorney to my wife because I was gone all the time.
Congressman Hunter says he did nothing illegal, but does not dispute any specific allegations.
It's my responsibility. It's my account, and didn't have as much visibility on my personal finances as I should have.
That is his wife going under the bus right there. She not having it.
What you're being done is taking a bunch of legitimate campaign expenses and just tossed them all in. I said these are all illegal.
It's worth.
How about that? So that's in the news. That's in the news as well. The what we're going to do? Amazing. Something happens to people, and again, he's innocent of all charges until proven guilty, but. Something happens to people when, whether it's fame or whether it's notoriety or whatever, I mean, they lose their minds. And we'll see what happens if this thing ever gets to trial. My instinct is that it won't, that he will agree to some plea deal and he will get whatever he gets, and life will move on. But it's amazing to watch this, and I mean, it happens over and over and over and over. So Duncan Hunter in the news today. There's also a couple stories, one about remains. We'll talk about those. Remains recovered from the KC or the C-130J. Actually, it's a KC-130 because it's a retanker. KC-130J that was involved in a mid-air collision with the F-18. Three bodies have been identified from that, so we'll talk about that. And then a whole series of bodies recovered from Tarawa, 30 of them. And, I mean, really with that, what that kind of highlights is the effort now of, because of the internet and because of the mapping technology that has been laid out, and because of also digitized archives, amateur, you know, people that either, you know, create their own nonprofit and somehow they finance their work, or people that are retired, so they're looking for something to be involved in, have taken up the cause of, be it locating missing people, and you see a number of organizations that are looking to locate the graves of those missing in action in World War II. And we see this all the time. And you'll most visible about this issue is when they're returned to the United States and the communities, you know, have funeral services for World War II veterans, Korean War veterans, Vietnam veterans. So, and a lot of it, you know, being done, you know, and the other story you see is the families reacting. Finally, we're getting movement on this, and the movement is coming from nonprofit organizations, not the federal government. So anyhow, so that in the news today, as well as the whole Iranian thing, which after a spat of name calling yesterday, my son Patrick was texting me this morning. He said, "Wouldn't you like to be in the room, right, when D. Trump reads that the president of Iran called him a retard?" What? Somebody snatches the phone. Melania grabs the phone from his hand. No, you are not going to go there. So when his hair literally stands up on end, and trust me, I would like to be there. Yeah, my son and I were texting back and forth. I've always found it amusing when people that can't speak English very well talk shit, and especially if they're good at talking shit. And so what they say is witty, but they say it in fucked up English, which I think makes it even funnier. So anyway, here's another email. It's about current events. Brett Baird just reported that Duncan Hunter is being accused of using campaign finance funds to pursue the affairs with lobbyists, campaign aides. Dude is a train wreck. 2, the Navy is going to lose the case against Gallagher due to ineptitude, which is scary as hell. The dude is a nut job. Imagine what the Team 7, SEAL Team 7, he's talking about, guys that swore to the charges are thinking. And he's going to the Shiloh battlefield, which I've never been to. If you know the truth and you're watching this shit show unfold, here's what I would say about that, and this is kind of a post-traumatic winning thing. You have to live with what you do for the rest of your life. And I would say your pillow is softer if you tell the truth, and then even if you have to watch it kind of unravel because of ineptitude, what you can look in the mirror and say is, and what you can tell your kids when they ask you about it, is, I did the right thing. There's nothing I can do about what anybody else does, but when I was serving, I saw these things, and I brought them to people's attention. But, I mean, sitting in there, watching it, and knowing the truth, right? You know the truth. And to me, it's a lot like what happens in public when you're elected. So you know the truth about issues, right? You know in the room, let's say at a city council meeting, you know in the room who's taking money from who. You know who supports who. And then all of a sudden, one night or one day, we're going to stand up and, like, sell a lie in public. And you sit there as an elected official and you're like, I can't believe that they're going to actually go there. And what they expect is nobody's going to call bullshit on them. But you're sitting there watching it play out in public. And then what they even have a plan for if you call bullshit. And the whole thing's a lie. And you're sitting there and you know the truth and you're just sitting there going, holy shit. The here's another one from about fast food. Love Wendy's and In-N-Out. KFC and Jack in the Box are not what they used to
your
be.
Your Olhausen outdoor ping pong table will beat the elements for years.
Yeah, if you want a full service outdoor ping pong table, you can get that. It used to not work like that, but you can now, evidently. Rubio's, he mentions, too. I'm not much of a Wendy's guy. Wendy's used to be on my list because they had, what, chili, and which is pretty good, and the chocolate Frosties. Come on, man. In-N-Out, favorite of my kids. You know, to me, it's like everything else. Like, oh, In-N-Out, really? Okay. Kentucky Fried Chicken, every once in a while, right? Everybody gets a hankering for Kentucky Fried Chicken. Greasy Chicken, right? It's awesome. Jack in the Box is a San Diego thing. So if you lived in San Diego, Jack in the Box is, you know, Jack is, you know, he's a man. They used to have these styrofoam Jack in the Box heads that it used to give out. And you'd see them all over San Diego. Yeah. On everybody's car antenna. Jack's head. Boom. So Jack in the Box was a big deal in San Diego. But it was kind of a beach thing. You know, they were all over down by the beach. And so mostly when you left the beach, go grab somebody to Jack in the Box. But anyway. But Duncan Hunter. Amazing. Hey, Mac, this is about Duncan Hunter. He ought to be a fat ass with all that fast food, with all those fast food stops. They're for his kids, man. Come on. Feeding his kids. When you're poor, you gotta pay the bills, right? Who was that? Latrell Sprewell. Hey, man. Just trying to pay the bills, man. Cause he went and signed for like $9 million and they asked him, why won't you sign? You know, that's a lot of money. And he said, hey, man, I got to pay my bill. I'm leaving. I got to pay my bills. So D. Hunter, I mean, talk about train wrecks, public train wrecks, and it'll play out in public. So it's kind of sad to see a fellow Marine do that, especially one who had a, you know, pretty successful career going. But you know what? Maybe it came too easy to him. You know, the son of a politician, right? Goes into Marine Corps, probably with the idea that he'll use that, his Marine service, as a springboard into public life. He then goes ahead and gets elected, and a war happened. So not only did he serve, man, but I mean, shit, there was a war. So now he's covered in glory. So maybe all that comes too easily, and you don't learn the lessons you should learn. And now he's going to learn them, and then he'll resolve this. He'll write a book, right? And maybe it'll all be good, so we'll see. Anyway, Chris Woodbridge is going to join us. He of the Marine Corps Gazette fame. Editor and publisher of the Gazette, the publisher of Leatherneck magazine, so we'll find out what's going on at the Gazette. And he's even Skype capable today, he told me. So we will hear what Woody's got to say about a whole variety of issues. So I like to talk current events with Woody before we talk other shit. So we'll do that here after we check the news. So good morning to you. Thanks for listening and making All Marine Radio part of your day. The Lynch and Kenny event will be here tomorrow. Good morning to you. The goal is to keep the monkey. That's Jeremiah. That's Whitney Houston. And this is dedicated to selfless people out there who look for the remains of Americans lost in our wars. Truly a noble endeavor. And good on all you people that do that. Most of them do it without any compensation. And good on the organizations for doing that. It is, you know, it is the highest of callings, in my opinion, that that we don't forget the promise to bring them home to their country, a country that owes them so much. So this is dedicated to them today.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
Come on, like, we don't need a sec def like that? What the hell, man? But, again, every day that makes me laugh. Now, maybe that makes me simple, but that makes me laugh.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
That makes me laugh, too.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Now, that doesn't make me laugh, okay? Now, I was laughing when he says it because it's kind of funny, but it's kind of serious.
Out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Now there's got like 3 weeks left. Yeah, I think it's July 19th. Email. Mac, it is amazing what happens to people that seem to be so successful and have life's brass ring sitting in front of them. Congressman Hunter, decorated Marine, elected to federal office. Had a chance to write his ticket for his entire life. And we all know people go through ups and downs, and divorce is part of life. But clearly, what you're talking about here is beyond that. Let's hope that he gets his shit together. Let's hope that at some point, whatever his issues are, he deals with them, gets his life on the right track for his children, for his ex-wife's sake, for everybody involved. Most importantly, probably, for him. Sad, though, and you are right, it's an all-too-common story. Been going on forever. It is, you know what? True that. All right, time to check the weather here on All Marine Radio. Currently, sunny in 86 in Quantico. Hasn't been sunny there for a while. So, in the nation's capital, so going to break 90 today and be warm. Mostly sunny at 88 at Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms cooled off a little bit. Sunny at 80, Pendleton. Cloudy in 61. Camp Smith in Hawaii. Dark, raining, and 72. Okinawa, Shima, as it's known. Home of 3MEF and the 3rd Marine Division. Dark, cloudy in 78. Ramadi in the Alambar Province is sunny and 112 late in the day. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is 91 degrees early in the evening under dark skies. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll check news headlines. We'll head to the top of the hour. Chris Woodbridge will join us via Skype. Yeah, you don't want to miss that to see if we screw that up. So, always an adventure the first time. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only, incredibly interesting, All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs at allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, time for the news. To the news we go. Sad news. Two U.S. service members have been killed in Afghanistan. No further details have been released. It's the first death since the deaths of three Marines who were assigned to the 25th Marine Regiment, much of which I just spoke to here out in the desert, part of the 4th Marine Division. They were killed in a car bombing outside of Bagram Airfield. The next major story of the day is remains have been identified. Relative to the KC-130 crash, three Marines have been identified. I don't know, about a month or so ago, we heard that they had recovered the cockpit voice recorders, parts of the fuselage, and bodies from the floor of the Western Pacific. During that, just to everybody recalls, the body of the pilot of the F-18 was recovered by Japanese maritime self-defense forces. There was one survivor. That was the guy in the back seat of the F-18. He survived. And then, the crew of five of the KC-130J salvage began on May 27th, concluded on June 7th. Recovered remains as well as the cockpit voice recorders. So, Threema said in a statement on Wednesday that identified the following Marines. So our thoughts and prayers out to their family. Lieutenant Colonel Kevin Herman, 38, of New Bern, North Carolina. Major James M. Brophy, 36, of Statsburg, New York. And Staff Sergeant Maximo A. Flores, 27, years old, of Surprise, Arizona. So, anyway, and the two other bodies were not recovered. The bodies of Corporal Daniel E. Baker, 21 years of age, of Tremont, Illinois, and Corporal William C. Ross, 21, of Hendersonville, Tennessee, were not recovered, according to the statement. So, quote, our thoughts and prayers remain with the families and all those who loved our fallen warriors. And that's from Major General Thomas Wheatley. He's a former commanding general of the 1st Marine Air Wing, said in a statement, I'm extremely grateful for the professionalism, dedication, and support of those who brought our Marines home. So, a story that we've been following for months since it happened. And really the next thing, other than if there's other remains to be recovered, is how did it happen? How did something that doesn't happen very often, how did that happen? Interesting. Next story. And that is, and what catches your eye about this headline in Stars and Stripes is the number of graves that were found. Graves of 30 U.S. service members found on Pacific World War II battlefield. So when you read that, right? When you read that, you're like, okay, Marines, you know, the Army fought a lot in the Pacific, but, you know, has a good chance to be Marines. A nonprofit organization, this is an Associated Press story, that searches for the remains of U.S. service members lost in past conflicts has found what officials believed are the graves of more than 30 Marines and sailors killed in one of the bloodiest battles of World War II. A team working on the remote Pacific atoll of Tarawa found the graves in March, according to Mark Noah, president of History Flight. I want to say I met some people involved in this. And I met them by accident someplace. Remember when you first, you know, started reading military history and you saw Tarawa? How do you say that? Tarawa? Right? It's like Hakuna Matata. Nobody knows how to pronounce it. The remains are believed to belong to Marines and sailors from the 6th Marine Regiment killed during the last night of the 3-day Battle of Tarawa. The Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency expects to pick up the remains and fly them to Hawaii next month, said Dr. John Burr, director of the agency's laboratories. Military forensics anthropologists will then work to identify them using dental records, DNA, and other clues. More than 990 U.S. Marines and 30 sailors were killed in the 1943 battle. How many remain missing, does it say? History Flight, listen to this, and this is the cool part about this. History Flight has recovered the remains of 272 individuals from Tarawa since 2015, when it began excavating under a contract with the Defense Department, Noah said. His estimates, there are at least another 270 to be found. A large number of graves also are below the water table, meaning History Flight workers have to pump water from the site each day in order to excavate. And if you look at the pictures that they show, you'll see that what they do is they pump water, they excavate, then they have to shore up, right, using wood, using sandbags, the area that they're working on to sustain it. The Army Graves Registration Service excavated some of Tarawa's temporary cemeteries in the late 1940s, but left behind parts of individuals during this process. History Flight is now thoroughly excavating these grave sites, leading them to find some partial remains that have been matched to those already buried as unknowns. Right? This is the grim task of, you know, bodies that have been blown apart, right? Identifying them, and if they're already buried, then you dispose of those remains, or you ask the family, what do you want? I didn't know this until I had to do it, had to be involved in it. You know, it matters whether they're dead, or it matters whether they're wounded. If they're wounded, you destroy it. If they're dead, their family has control over the disposition of remains. So, anyway, just so you know, so as the History Flight thoroughly excavate these grave sites, some of the partial remains have been matched to those already buried as unknowns in national cemeteries and led to their identification, which is pretty cool. The agency has identified more than 100 individuals excavated from Tarawa and the Honolulu Cemetery since 2015. So again, good on those people. You know, obviously lifelong servants and whose service is important. And for these guys, the Marine Corps has been a huge part of their life and these men and women. It's a very cool story. Let's see. Another story that I would tell you is a pretty important story that won't get a whole lot of traction because it's not very sexy is this one. And I say this because it has had a huge impact on my family. Don't implement controversial GI Bill transfer yet or at all, lawmakers tell the Pentagon. Now, post-11 GI Bill, one of the best things, and I've told the story before, but my mom... but my mom is the one that actually told me about, you know, Michael, do you know that you could give your GI Bill to your kids? I'm like, Mom, where'd you read that? She's like, no, I read it. I'm serious. And I think I might have been in Afghanistan. I'm like, I've never heard of that. I've never heard anybody talking about that. Lo and behold, corporal punishment Kathleen, who turned 85 on Sunday, she was right. Which she loved to talk about somebody who made a living on being right. Oh my God, Kathleen! When she was wrong, you wrote that shit down. But anyway, she was right. But what it did was my oldest or my number two son, Patrick, my oldest. I didn't get this while he was still in college, so he kind of got screwed. But number two, he got 2 years of his tuition paid for at the University of Arizona and also a living stipend so that he could have a part-time job going to college because I wouldn't pay him for it. And, you know, which is kind of I'm kind of an anomaly as a parent, right? Most parents, you know, like, well, I got to put my kid through college. Like, that was never my position. I looked at him like, hey, you're going to put yourself through college. We've got four kids. We don't have the money for it, so you should do it on the cheap. And then Catherine, she got the other 2 years of it and also the living stipend. And so, I mean, you know, in a day and age when college debt is much in the news, my kids, you know, two of them anyway, were huge beneficiaries of this. And then states enacted what's called the Yellow Ribbon Fund. So if there were, for instance, I know at the University of Arizona, there's a cap. There's a federal cap on what the GI Bill will pay, right? And it's, I want to say it's the equivalent of, I can't remember what it is. So I won't say what I think. So anyway, if your expenses go beyond that, your academic expenses go beyond that, there's these things called Yellow Ribbon Funds that step in and they pay the balance. You know? And the reason I know about that was Patrick told me. He said, hey, I went into the veterans office, I was talking to those guys, and my bill is this, GI Bill only covers this. I said, well, what do you do? Got to take out loans? He said, no, there's a Yellow Ribbon Fund thing. I just apply to that. Gets a letter back in a month or so saying that absolutely we'll cover it. So, I mean, that's it. And it was a Jim Webb thing. Yeah. So, Marine tie-in. So, James Webb as what? Senator from Virginia? He got that pushed through. Well, unlike a lot of GI Bill's benefits that go unused, that then got used by everybody that could use it. Anybody that could transfer it, right, used it. Well, what does that mean? That means more money for Congress. So while we're dying, they're like, oh, they're all about it. But there's not so much death anymore. We're looking to cut DOD expenses. Let's cut that. Anyway, so that's the background of this story. Okay, so here's what they've decided to do. Lawmakers are asking, who is this by? Natalie Gross. And it's in Military Times. Lawmakers are asking the Defense Department to hold off on a controversial education benefit change while they try to force a legislative fix. The change, scheduled to roll out on July 12th, will bar long-serving troops from transferring the post-9/11 GI Bill to their dependents, a move the Pentagon said is necessary to preserve the benefit as a recruitment and a retention tool. So here's how the benefit. So the benefit would not. So if you've been in longer than 16 years, you can't give it to your kids. So the fact that you served honorably, right, doesn't matter. You don't get the right to give your tuition benefit to your kids. But if you're a junior and they're looking to retain you, it's going to be looked at as a tool, as an incentive, not a right. So it'll be taken out of the right. It'll be used as a recruiting and retention tool. I mean, that fucking sucks, man. Members of the House of Representatives Armed Service Committee voted unanimously in mid-June to throw out the new policy as part of the National Defense Authorization Act, with one member calling it a truly lousy decision by the DOD. But because of the Authorization Act is unlikely to pass through Congress before July 12th, 29 members of the committee have signed a letter asking Acting Secretary of Defense Mark Esper to delay the implementation of the new policy or do away with it entirely to avoid whiplash of potential reversal of if the NDAA as it currently stands becomes law. Okay, so what they're trying to avoid is they eliminated this in the current NDAA, and if Esper implements it and then then the NDAA is ultimately passed with this language, you can see the whipsaw. Pentagon did not respond. And so this is a big deal. This affects everybody that stays in. Currently, troops with at least 6 years of military service can transfer their GI Bill benefits to a spouse or a child, provided they agree to serve for 4 more years. The impending policy change would end the transfer option for service members with more than 16 years of service. Hey, thank you for your service, but sorry, you don't get this bill. In a letter signed by 23 House Democrats and 6 Republicans. Only 6 Republicans? What the fuck? We strongly agree with this change in policy. It remains critically important to attract and retain the best qualified individuals for military service, and we believe it sends exactly the wrong message to some of our most seasoned service members to make them ineligible for incentives to continue their service to our nation. So I want you to recruit him and use this benefit to recruit him, but you can't use it. Got it. That sucks, man. That straight up sucks. We already talked about Duncan Hunter. Here's a message. Mac, known Duncan since OIF. Unexcusable, unsat. He has let down his nation, family, and core. Tragedy, real tragedy, of biblical or other Shakespearean proportion. Like war and other fallibilities are the nature of humanity. Humanity will never evolve beyond these core fabilities. Am I saying that right? Fabilities? What does fability mean? Hold on. I'm looking it up. Copy, paste, enter. Fability. The tendency to make a mistake. Oh, fallibility. My bad. My bad. All right, let me start this over. Mac, known Duncan, that's a combination of Duncan and Hunter. Known Duncan since OIF-1. Inexcusable, unsat. He has let down his nation, family, and core. Tragedy, real tragedy, of biblical or Shakespearean proportion. Like war and other fallibilities are the nature of humanity. Humanity will never evolve beyond these core fallibilities. Acknowledging that is the only true prevention. That said, once the ashes have ceased to smolder, it will be time to forgive and aid that fellow Marine. You know what? Let me tell you the most painful part of this is like the evolution to politician and the page out of the Clinton book, which is the same thing that Pete Rose did, right? Admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. And that's how the Clintons have skated through all the shit they've done. So why wouldn't Duncan Hunter do the same thing? However, at some point, because you're not the Clintons, somebody lays the wood to your ass, and then it's time to get correct, be the human being that you probably used to be years ago, get your shit straight. If you don't want to be married, then don't be married. Do the right thing, right? Do the right thing by your ex. Do the right thing by your kids. Be a stand-up human being and move on with your life. And I think everybody knows. I mean, right? I don't even need to say this, but I will. To an audience of Marines, he who is without sin, let them cast the first stone. Right? In a mob full of Marines, right? Every rock hits the ground. All right, I'm out. So, yeah, it's just an amazing story. And again, his wife pleading guilty was confusing. Now it's not so confusing. All right, let's see. There's another story by Sean Snow in Marine Corps Times, and it's entitled, "This Wearable Marine Technology Can Boost Human Performance and Track Physiological Status." We had a guy on that runs this program. His name is Colonel Steve Arms. And so I want to get him back on and talk about this. But this is wearing devices that report your level of fitness, right, and can predict problems to your command so that they can monitor you physiologically. How about that? All right. Top five stories in Early Bird. Then Chris Woodbridge will join us. And here they are. Stand by. Yeah, but again, watching Duncan Hunter is painful. Number one, Iranians say new sanctions mean the end of diplomacy as a way forward. Number two, U.S. carried out cyber attack on a key Iranian proxy group. The cyber attack's goal was to disable and degrade Kataib Hezbollah, an Iranian-sponsored Shia group. The specific goal was to attack its network communications. So, there you have it. That story's been out there. Number three, U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo visits Kabul, hopes for peace deal before September 1. Number four, North Korea says it won't surrender to U.S.-led sanctions, echoing Iran. Number five, big leadership changes could be the first test of durability of the U.S. Army's modernization overhaul. So there you have it. That is a let's look at the news. No, and one other headline. Saudi forces say they have captured the leader of the Yemen branch of the Islamic State. All right. Chris Woodbridge is going to join us next. So don't touch that dial. More Balmering Radio coming up right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.